Hi, I'm Joanne Dicknair, Meemaw, with It's Storytime, Meemaw, an answered prayer for stories that point children to God on the Truth Network for Kids. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. We're excited about this week's topic, and we're usually excited about the topic, but even more so this week. And why would that be, David? What is our topic this week?
Our most memorable Easter.
And or
tradition.
Well, you did mostly good. Yeah. Yeah. That was mostly there. Yeah.
I'm a real hard trier.
You are. You try hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will give you that. You do try hard. But no, you're exactly right, David. It's it is your favorite Easter memory / and or tradition, mm-hmm. right? Or traditions. And so we're talking about that today, as well as some other things probably in the show. But we're in our after hours. And in the first segment, if you didn't get to hear that, you didn't get to hear Rodney and Jim's riveting stories and amazing clips.
Yeah.
You know, and I may be building it up just a little bit. Maybe, but you'll have to go back and listen to know for sure.
Yeah, we know you are.
I was trying to be nice.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, it doesn't
happen. Speak for Jim.
It doesn't happen that often, so you should take advantage of it when it does happen. But we are talking about that, and so we'll continue with that topic. And so I guess I have a couple clips that I'll play for you here, but I'll start with the first one and then maybe go to a couple other people for some of their stories, and I'll come back and play my other one. But the first one I'm going to go with is my Easter traditions. And really, I could call this holiday traditions in my family. We didn't have much money as a kid. You don't really often know that. I think if your parents are doing a really good job of loving you well, you know, you don't really recognize that you don't have anything. You know, I think most people in town recognize we didn't have anything, but before we did, you know, as kids. But, you know, we grew up, you know, with government cheese and the government stuff they gave you back in those days. And it was an exciting day when the big block of cheese came, you know, because I could eat cheese for the next couple of weeks. And yeah, I have trouble going to the bathroom for the next month. Other than that, you know, it was just a good thing. But we always went to my mom's mom, her house, for all the holidays, especially Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And so we come down to the clip that I chose, and it is one of the longer clips that we've played. It's a total of 4 seconds. And so we're going to go ahead and play that, and I'll come back and talk about it a little bit more depth. But here's my clip of going to my grandmother's.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
Exactly. So we did go over a river. And we did go through some woods. They were both on a road and a highway, but still, it was over a river and through the woods. And lots of fond memories going to my grandma's. Unfortunately, it was never anything to do with Christ at Easter, because there was no one in my family that I knew of other than my mom, my dad's mom and dad, that were Christian. And because there were some history with my dad and his parents, we saw them at the holidays, but only for a very short period. We go over, say hi, and, you know, be there for a little bit and then leave. And so there wasn't big relationship because of my dad and his dad's kind of strained relationship. And that got better over time. But in my formative years, I was never around anyone that I knew was Christian. You know, and so when we went over, the traditions were nothing to do with Christ or the sacrifice he made or the impact of what Easter really means. And I really didn't even know that. It was all about the food we could eat at grandma's, right? And the candy I was going to get and whatever the Easter bunny, quote unquote, brought me. You know, and that was my whole focus of Easter. But the time with my family was priceless. You know, I wish there was a Christian element to it. And after I became a Christian in my teens, my mom did when I was in college. And then my dad did shortly before he passed away. And so I do have you know, the hope of seeing them, you know, down the road, or the promise of seeing them down the road, that they'll be there. And I think my grandpa will, my other grandpa became a Christian, and I'm not sure about my grandma, you know, and a lot of my siblings have. And so, you know, since then, a lot of that's changed. But part of the tradition we had was the food, you know, and that's one of the traditions that I continue. You know, it's up to me to make the meal for a holiday. It's going to be ham. It's going to be grandma's mac and cheese recipe that was incredibly unhealthy but amazing. You know, yeah, there's not a diet in the world that would say eat this mac and cheese. But if you ate it, you're going to eat it again. I mean, it's quite good. You know, it's a lot of butter, lots of cheese. That's most of it. And some macaroni in there. You know, most of it's butter and cheese. Yeah, pickled eggs, you know, and so that's different to different people, but it was beet juice that you'd put them in and they'd be purple. And, you know, I hated beets, but I loved pickled eggs, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it's still stuff that I make for the holidays, and my kids have grown up, and that's, you know, now some of their traditional food that they look forward to having. And it goes back to my grandma, you know, and I'm sure it went back to her family before that. And so that was one of the great traditions that I enjoyed. And now there's additional traditions because there is the Christ element, you know, the main element, the biggest of the items for Easter is in the mix. And so it's great to have that in there. But that's my tradition thing. And I talked a lot longer than the 4-second clip. But David, what about you? What about some memories or traditions?
So, you know, I grew up in my dad's a minister, still is. And so I grew up in a traditional Christian background, you know, church background. And so one of my favorite memories growing up was, we talked a little bit earlier, Shrove Tuesday, which Jim pointed out in New Orleans, they call it Fat Tuesday. It's the Tuesday before Lent really starts. And this year it fell on March 4th. And we always had a pancake supper at church. And the meaning behind that was basically the last gluttonous thing you could really do before Lent. You ate pancakes, but also even farther back when you know, poverty, you know, struck around and everything, it was basically you ate up everything you could eat that you couldn't eat during Lent. So Shrove Tuesday was probably one of my favorite memories growing up in Easter. You know, it took a really long time for me to really understand what the meaning of Easter was, and probably, you know, probably into my late 20s and stuff did I really understand what Resurrection Sunday was and what that actually meant. And, you know, I'm glad obviously that I found that out and knew what the message was with that. But, you know, I definitely say bring Shrove Tuesday back. I love eating some pancakes.
Is it Shrove,
S-H-R-O-V-E?
Okay, like Grove, but S-H in front of it instead of a G.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then Michigan, we did it, Shrove Tuesday. We still did pancakes, but they were potato pancakes. I don't know why, yeah. But I think that's like a Dutch thing or German thing or something, so.
Yeah, wherever they had the great potato famine is probably where that was.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but no, thank you. Yeah, no, anything else as far as...
I mean, there's always growing up the Easter Bunny thing, but, yeah. You know, we don't really do the Easter Bunny in my house with my kids. I think it takes away from that. I mean, Ashlyn will ask me sometimes. She'll be like, hey, is the Easter Bunny going to come? I'm like, hey, you're 15 years old. Do you really still think there's an Easter Bunny? But, you know, so we've taught her actually what the real season is for this.
Oh, well, good. So, ruin your kids' lives.
Yeah. Let's just keep going. That's what I'm all about, you know?
just smack her feet right out from under
him. No chocolate for you.
I think we've established he's doing the opposite.
There. Yeah, he is. No, he is. He's giving him the truth of life. Grant, what about you? You'd like to share something about Easter? Go ahead and pull the microphone up to you.
Yes, being the Easter Bunny.
Okay, you were the Easter Bunny, yes. Or you are? Okay.
Did.
Okay.
I'm a few days before.
Okay, all right.
My mother used to give me all kinds of cookies, Rice Krispie creams,
mm-hmm.
and things to give it to neighbors. And I'd walk at least a half mile passing these out every house.
Wow.
Whether it be children or not. Oh, and the stuffed eggs.
Did you have a bunny costume on?
Did
you have like ears and anything like that?
Maybe hair.
Okay.
twist it up.
That was a good one. I like that, Greg. Good job.
But I would have.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
there
no cotton tail or anything?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share? If not, we'll go to my next memory and maybe come back to it. All right. So on to my favorite Easter memory. I don't even know what year it was. It was several years ago. We'd moved down to North Carolina. We'd been down here probably 5-6 years. So I guess that's probably 2012, 2013. I should remember, but I just don't because the years kind of blend together. And we were going to have a Easter baptism. You know, and if you're not from North Carolina, that could mean it's 80 degrees or it could mean it's 35 degrees. It just kind of depends on the year, you know, on how warm it's going to be. And this wasn't an incredibly cold Easter, but the water temperature was incredibly cold. But my pastor, who's a friend of mine, Mike, said, "Hey, I'd like for you to help with the baptisms, you know, help, you know, take people down, bring them back up, if you could do that." And said, "I'd love to do that." And both my sons and my father-in-law wanted to get baptized. My father-in-law had been a Christian, but he had never been baptized, and it was really important to him. And at that point, he was having some trouble with some coordination stuff, and so we had to get creative, and we got a lawn chair out there, and he sat in the lawn chair, and then we flipped him over in the lawn chair, you know, and brought him back up. But that is by far my favorite Easter memory, to be able to do that with Dallas, who I loved him dearly and miss him greatly. He's been gone for about 9 years now, and so just a wonderful man. And to be there to be a part of baptizing both of my sons, you know, I mean, and God did all the work. I just got to do some of the lifting. But that's something that's so special. And so as a part of that, you know, we had a video from it, and so I took the video, and I took the words from a song from Kenny Chesney and Randy Travis called Baptism. And so that's what my clip is. It's a segment of that song. And so I put the video of that happening to this song. And so I really had a hard time when I was putting the clip together. I kept breaking down and getting emotional for good reason. You know, yes, I miss Dallas a lot, but my sons are fortunately both still around and both really strong in their faith and very grateful for that these days, because that doesn't always continue to happen as kids get older, and their faith has been very important to them, and they've both been to boot camps and both want to come back to boot camps. You know, Eli's hoping to come back in the fall and bring some friends, and Caleb's been here recently and actually spoke and did a response at one of the boot camps, and to see them come along in their walk as Christian men and know that I got to play a little role in that. You know, at different times God's honored me in that, and so I'll go ahead and play the clip and talk a little bit more about it as we come back.
Down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the ways of light and truth. Didn't see no angel, just a few saints on the shore. But I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord.
If you have a hard time hearing lyrics, which it's easier, as Jim pointed out, in country songs for some reason, because they seem to be speaking more clearly, I think, sometimes, but not always. But what they were singing there in the chorus was, down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. I didn't see any angels, just a few saints on the shore, but I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. And then they repeat that, and you know, for me, when I was listening to it, the part of the song, being a part of being able to help baptize my sons, I felt like the newborn baby in the arms of the Lord, because his love was just all over me. You know, I could feel him around me. I could feel his joy in all the people. We probably baptized 20 people that day, you know, and just watching them come out glowing, you know, just a change in them, and just being a little part of that, and just how amazing and how much of a gift that was, and how much of a memory that'll be for my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that I was able to be a part of that, and God's grace and being able to do that, and I'm just so grateful for it. You know, and so made it through without crying, came close, but didn't do as well when I was putting the clip together. I got to say, I had to pause like three or four times, like, yeah, I'm not listening to the whole song. I'm just getting part of a clip. But if you don't know that song, it's called Baptism. It's an amazing song, and it's good to hear both Randy Travis and I just lost him. What's up?
Was it Kenny Chesney?
Yeah, thank you, Kenny Chesney. Yeah. I was still thinking of Chris Tomlin from Lasha on that. But, moving a little differently, anyone else want to share about favorite Easter memory?
One thing.
Yeah.
I definitely remember that I did have bunny ears.
Oh, so you did have bunny ears. Okay, well, good. That's good to know. I feel a little bit better about it now.
Hey, if he wants to go to advanced boot camp, Grant's going to be wearing his bunny ears.
We will get him some bunny ears. Yes. If you register this week,
that's right.
We will get some bunny ears for Grant to wear. Terry, anything you'd like to share?
I guess favorite.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Favorite Easters or whatnot. All my Easters were favorite. But the thing was, I did not know the real reason. Now, we've always been brought up in church on both sides of my family, my mom, my dad's side of the family. We were in there, but still yet, not, it was just going to church because we had to go. Mm-hmm. But I guess after coming to know him for myself, you know, an experience and the song, the clip you just played about, you know, becoming that new man. I feel as if I'm becoming a new man every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day there's a difference in the walk. There's a different avenue, it seems like. I mean, here with you guys is different, but it's a part of the journey that guides me on an everyday thing. But Easter's always been, and that's part of this thing is in this walk and trying to encourage men like and unlike me, to be a part of what you were talking about with your sons. Mm-hmm. I have two boys, and I tried to instill what I thought was very right in them. Now, their mother, who passed some years back, we weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit of a struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know. Some parts gleamed through. You know, and some didn't, but for the better part, I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, my role of being dad and granddad, you know, is very active. I'm enjoying it, mm-hmm. you know. I only wish now I've moved away from home, which is in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm up here with you guys now in Rural Hall, the little town of Rural Hall. And to try to be a part of that moment with my kids and my grandkids especially, got two grandboys,
mm-hmm.
I wish that I had that opportunity like so many other guys. I wish so many other guys would take advantage of such an opportunity to try to spend those moments of doing what they've learned after coming to know the Lord and spend with those other kids and whatnot. And that's the whole push behind what God is pushing me into.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Yes, Art.
Well, since we got Terry to talk, I decided I would say something too.
Well, thank you, Art.
I think he's easier than you are, Art.
Okay, well, I found this verse that I would like to share. It's about Easter and the resurrection. It's John 11:25-26. It's two verses. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So that brings back a memory of I guess the regular listeners know that I lost my mother back in December. And
mm-hmm.
and that verse gives me some happiness to know that she is alive and living another life and doing well because in a better place.
Yeah, and you'll be with her again.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Art. I appreciate that.
I want to thank Art for making me feel like a stumbling block.
Yeah. So I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction. And so as we finish out on the show with this question, and if not, we'll ask another question. But what does Easter mean to you? You know, and so that's for me, I'll throw it out there since I'm asking the question, let you guys think a little bit more. For me, being a father, right, I can't imagine God loving me and my flawed, my brokenness, all the stuff I've done, loving me so much, he would let his son go through what he went through. Right? Because I know he loves Jesus. Right? And just, I can't imagine, regardless of what the circumstances are, seeing one of my kids go through all that and knowing that I could prevent it as a father. You know, and it just screams to me how much God loves each one of us. You know, how much, how fully he loves us, that he would let Jesus go through the torture, you know, with the whips leading up to Easter and all the stuff he went through, to go through the crucifixion, to go through all that. Yeah, I mean, God had the advantage of knowing he's definitely going to see his son again, you know, but still, as a parent that loves their child deeply, as God has to willingly let that happen. It's just hard for me to fathom as a parent, because as a parent, you want to try to protect your kids. Yeah, you let them go through little things that's going to hurt them so they learn. You know, I might let them touch the candle, you know, when it's lit and get burnt, but I'm not going to let them get beaten with whips and things. You know, I mean, that's just a difference, you know, and just this, the sacrifice the father made, let alone the sacrifice Jesus made, but there's a sacrifice on the father's side too, right? And that's where my mind goes to, is just, oh my gosh, how much he absolutely, once reconciled, wanted to be reconciled with us, that he would do anything and everything to make that happen.
Yeah, he's the father sent the son.
Yes.
He gave his only son. Yeah, I mean, this all stems from the father. So
right.
it's the father's love through and through, that what was poured out for our iniquity on the son, and we are the benefactors.
Mm-hmm.
And the willingness of Jesus to take that on himself.
Mm-hmm.
The love of God in all three forms is so overwhelming that is what Easter's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, when it comes to, you know, Resurrection Sunday and Easter and thinking about this time, it's, to me, it's just life. I can't get life out of my head. The way, the truth, and the life, and you will have it more abundantly, and this is something that we do not have any life. If Jesus goes in the grave and he's still in the grave, he's not alive, we have the same fate.
Mm-hmm.
We would just have death. But we don't have death. We have life. And the only way we have that is what you just described, Sam, is the Father sending the Son. Jim, like you said, he goes willingly to the cross. He marches there. And could you have his face sent like flint? Could you imagine what it must have been like? I mean, it's the closer and closer and closer Jesus gets to that point in his life where he knows he's going to suffer through that. In his humanity, it's going to be harder and harder to go, wow, I got to take another step and another step and another step towards that. The closer you get to those, the finality of that, and it's going to happen. But he did it because of love. It just screams how much he loves and cares for his children.
And that's a good segue for me to honor Robbie by throwing a little Hebrew at you.
There we go.
And I think I have shared this before, but I'll do it again because it's worth hearing. Chesed is the Hebrew word for God's love, and they actually created the loving kindness in translating the Bible, because there's no real word in English to say that. But the best definition I've heard, and I love it, and I love the guy that said it, Mike Card, is that Chesed, God's love, is defined by the one who owed us nothing, gave us everything.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Anyone else have thoughts, too?
You know, but with that, guys, and maybe I'm a little off kill with this, but does that also kind of encourage you to try to reciprocate that love to others, the same that
absolutely.
Same he gave to you and he sacrificed?
Yeah. Yeah. He first loved us. And I can't
absolutely.
Love. Back in my BC days, my love was all about whatever I was going to get, truthfully. I mean, that's where I was at. And now, even though it still enters in because of my sinful nature, I love better than I ever did before.
But you know, I think there's a portion of us, and there's still a struggle in so many guys, so many men, that we tend to want to pick and choose those that we want to love.
Mm-hmm.
and we're not allowed to.
Yeah. Jesus died for those that turned his back on him just as much for those as accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He died for all mankind.
Absolutely.
Right? And the Father sent him for all mankind.
And to paraphrase Jesus, if you love those that love you, big deal. It's loving the unlovable, absolutely, which really is an expression of true love.
Absolutely.
This is a very difficult movie to watch, but if you haven't watched The Passion of the Christ, wow, what a good one. And one of the things that my kids wanted to watch them as they were getting a different age, they wanted to see the movie. And one of the things that my wife and I required them to do is to read the four gospel accounts.
Yeah.
Of that time, and in order to do that, to ask them to do it, we had to go do it again. And there was just so much to glean out of that, and then to see the movie. It is a very difficult movie. I've only seen it twice because of just how hard it is to watch, to see Jesus go through that, but how good it is to see that portrayal of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say, okay, wow, it had to be at least this. This bad, you know, and was probably worse to see him go through those things. And reading those accounts, one of the things that made it more special to me is to know Jesus's obedience to his Father was key. You know, there is a time in the Garden of Gethsemane, we even went to a church called Gethsemane, and I can't say it today. In the garden place. He says, Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let that happen, right? He was reluctant, but willing. He's going to be obedient to his Father. You know, and it bothered him so much, he sweat blood.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was that much that he really didn't want to go to what he had to do, but he was willing to do it because it was his Father's will.
Yep.
You know, and how cool that is. And I would encourage you to read the gospel accounts, to watch the movie, to do
something
like that.
That's a tradition to always keep right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, to do that. And there's still time. You could do it tomorrow morning.
Yep. Many days.
I'm still waiting for the sequel, though.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Go to maskonjourney.org to register for the upcoming Advanced Boot Camp, which is coming up this weekend. We'll talk with you next week. Love somebody well this week, and have an amazing Easter. Talk to you next week.
This is the Truth Network.